always start the show with dancing. Whether you're dancing in your seat or out of your seat, it's an opportunity for you to dance and know that indeed we have got a lot to do whilst we are in our prime. I'm Jenny Russell. Welcome to this week's episode of Her Health and Happiness right here on UK Health Radio, your only real feel-good radio station, available on all platforms. Podcast Alexa, we're here to help you. How you doing? We're gonna have that girl, 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 my girl tonight. We're gonna take that load up, heart to heart. Yeah. I am really just blessed that I can have so much girls talk on a weekly basis. And hopefully by God's grace, it's hidden differently, you're taking it in, it's making a change, you're thinking, oh, I never thought about it this way, and it's helping you get where you want to be. But before we really get into it, we have to always start by remembering that like me, you two are blessed and divinely favored, amazing, you are a magnet for miracles, the solution to someone's problem and the answer to somebody's prayer. And I pray this week that this is going to be the answer to not just us as older adults, but I did actually speak with Charlotte Miller, Intergenerational England, and Laura Holloway from Slimming World. And we're talking about young children, obesity in young children, and how they are now turning to places like Slimming World to actually get some inspiration. Children are our future, and their health and happiness, we have to inspire it, we have to encourage it, and we have to help them understand. But we can only help them understand to the degree that we understand ourselves. I'm dancing. It's that kind of beat that's just happy. So happy beat, you just dance to it, but it just works because this is girls talk. Everything what we're doing is girls talk. So I want to start by asking you a little question. I want to ask you a question because for us, it really is about understanding the reproductive cycles of life, the female reproductive life cycles, the start of it, the journey through it, and the signal for the end of it, and what that means for us. And I'm of an age where I've done the journey through it, so now I'm in the season of what does that mean for me? And I've been in that season for a while. And what's really nice now is I used to try and get friends who were celebrities back in the day to be interested in this conversation. I had a conversation with my best friend, who was a guy, the other day, because there are now more videos out about men and erectile dysfunction and understanding pelvic floor. And if you're not doing it like how you're working out your biceps and triceps, it's a choice. And it's interesting because what was brought up was like, why isn't this information mainstream? But it has been. I've been in this space for 30 years. But when I used to talk to my celebrity friends, oh, no, because if they mention weakness in the pelvic floor, it's because we linked it to old people, for which we are now older, we didn't want to hear it. We didn't want to hear about lack of sexual feeling. We didn't want to hear that we'd be wetting ourselves when we laugh. We didn't want to hear that our organs were dropping down. We didn't want to hear it. Men weren't interested. We just want to have great sex, but don't talk about it. We don't want to do the challenges that come with it. We don't want to talk about the challenges that come and what could create pelvic weakness. We weren't interested. But now, we're in that season, and we've got no choice but to be interested. Because if we're not interested, we don't know how to save ourselves. So this is where we find ourselves now. But what if the changes your body is making in your 40s and 50s isn't the end of womanhood, but an invitation back home? It's just inviting you back to yourself. This is what I want to discuss this week on Her Health and Happiness, as well as sharing the interview. I want to talk about why women are craving something different now in this month of January, because it's not about resolutions anymore. It's not about restrictions either. But now we finally, we want to understand. We just want to understand. We want to understand our hormones, our pelvis, our cycles, because they were never just about babies. And I used to always say that. They were never just about babies. They were about vitality. They were about confidence. They were about connection. And if midlife has left you feeling unfamiliar in your own body, then this week, this conversation is for you. Also, on the 24th of this month, wherever you are in the world, online, I have a free masterclass. Online masterclass, Saturday, the 24th of January, from 10:30 a.m. till midday. Come along, get your questions answered. Fit and fabulous after 50. 7 things women are looking for. Because that's really, really important. There comes a moment in a woman's life when her body no longer behaves the way it used to. Not because it's failing her, but because it's asking her to listen differently. Somewhere in our 40s and 50s, the rhythms we once relied on begin to change. Cycles soften, signals shift, and suddenly what once felt familiar can now feel foreign. And too many women are told, directly or quietly, that this is the beginning of the end. That womanhood was something tied to reproduction. That vitality had an expiration date. But what if that story is wrong? What if your reproductive organs were never just about babies? What if your hormones were never just about monthly cycles? And what if those signals your body was sending weren't about betrayal, but about conversation? For years, we saw periods as a nuisance, an inconvenience, something to manage or suppress, yet they were also a reminder of our youthfulness, our rhythms, and our renewal. The enemy of our enemy was quietly our best friend. And now, in this new season, many women fear that everything comes with strings attached. Brain fog, fatigue, bone loss, hot flushes, disconnection. As if this chapter must be paid for with discomfort. But it doesn't have to be that way. When we understand what is changing, when we know the when, the where, and the how, the body stops feeling like a battleground and it starts feeling like home again. So this show is not about fixing you, but it's about reminding you, you were never broken. You were just evolving. And maybe, just maybe, this season of life isn't the end of womanhood at all. But it's just a deeper expression. Maybe that's what the body's been saying all the time. What is it about this midlife that makes our life seem like it's drastically changing, like it's over, like we don't deserve it, like it doesn't belong, like we don't belong, like we've lost our use, not just our youth. So what I know is that there are 7 things that women want. And they're not medical. They're just holistic in nature. First and foremost, when your body starts feeling like it's left you, like you've gone to some foreign country, and all these things are happening that are foreign to your natural everyday occurrences, the first thing you want to do is feel at home in your body again. You just want to feel like, this body is mine and I know how to take care of it. You want your body to be like the home you live in. But you live in this this skin, this bone, this frame. But you want it to be as orderly, as tidy, as nice, almost as neat as the house you keep. You want energy without punishment. You don't want the energy to disappear at 2 o'clock every day. You want energy without punishment. You want confidence without comparison, strength without stiffness, clarity without overwhelm. These are just some of the things that women want. You're not asking to go backwards. You're just asking to feel rooted again. You just want to be able to feel fit and fabulous in your 40s after 50, because the truth of the matter is this. It's not about chasing youth, and it's definitely and should definitely not be about chasing health. But really, it's about reclaiming agency, autonomy, authority over your own health. It's about understanding the body instead of fighting it. It's like we go into, you go into perimenopause, and based really on what you bring into perimenopause in terms of your emotional, hormonal, nutritional, circadian, you know, movement history, etc. It's like you suddenly, like, you've gone to battle with yourself. And no one wants to fight themselves. No one wants to be in that position where they feel like this is a fight, because then it becomes who is going to win. And that in itself can be quite a stressful thought. What is going on? But literally, the reproductive life cycle is not the end of womanhood. You have the start of the reproductive life cycle and the end. So what I should say really is the end of the reproductive life cycle is not the end of womanhood. Yeah, it's not the end of womanhood, because there's a distinction between, you know, what our reproductive organs' primary role is, what their role is in reproduction, what their role is in everyday life, and what the organs do. So we understand the organs, we understand the hormones, and that helps us to really understand where we are. So our reproductive organs, the uterus, the ovaries, there's hormone conversation that impacts our cardiovascular health, that impacts our brain and cardiovascular function. So there is a role they play in how we think, how we feel, our emotions, where we store them, what happens to us. Our heart, we're heart-centered, we're very feeling, we're very, you know, we're the connectors and the carers, and that's the heart that connects everything, right? So we have to understand that the womb, the ovaries, the cervix and the pelvis, they're communication centers first. They are communication centers first. So they are communication centers before the reproductive life cycle starts. They are communication centers during our reproductive life cycle, which is fantastic, because literally a period signals an opportunity to ovulate, to potentially procreate, and to bring new life in. The end of a monthly cycle signals the either the possibility of that being successful, but the next monthly cycle signals that we start again, and it didn't happen this time, but it could happen next time, alongside the cardiovascular and the mental emotional stuff that goes on in terms of brain function that we don't see. That's their primary role. Then, of course, they have the gestation, and they have the role of communicating pregnancy. They have the gateway, again, with the pelvis that links the inner and outer world. The cervix is like the bodyguard that stands to protect the womb, the uterus, from, you know, infection and disease, but also to let in new life, right? So we know those roles. And then after pregnancy, postpartum, they need to return back to that monthly cycle of preparing. Maybe it happened, maybe it didn't, and the next month. So there's still something going on all the time. And the hormones, those sex hormones, also play a role, because estrogen plays a massive role in bone density. So they play a role in bone density, brain clarity, mood, libido, confidence, motivation. So the body is always giving us signals, not sabotage. So that's the difference. When we start to understand that it's not a you know, a period isn't a sabotage of, it means, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't, you know, it's not sabotaging anything. It's just preparing, finishing, highlighting, and then releasing, highlighting, quietening down, highlighting, quietening down. It's just the ebbs and flow. But in between that, it's playing all these other roles in mood, libido, confidence, motivation, brain clarity, bone density. And it's talking, it's helping us understand the sex hormones are not just for fertility, that the reproductive organs aren't just for babies. And so the body's, you know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So when we understand that, we start to understand that the body does not destroy womanhood. It just demands a new relationship with it when we move into our fortunate 40s and our fabulous after 50s, and for me and those that are with me, into our sassy, sexy 60s. It's just demanding a different relationship with the body that we get to understand. And so even as we share a bit later into the show with Slimming World, really that again is just, it's an opportunity for young adults to recognize that there's a relationship with everything. There's a relationship with the food you choose to eat and how it responds in the body. Everything, there's a relationship. And so sometimes people need that hand to guide them, to help them. But it's still, you still need an understanding. That's just one hand, it's one spoke in the wheel. There's still other things that can help you. And it is good that, you know, when you look at intergenerational England and look at what, how we can inspire young and old, you know, it's important that we know how to walk side by side. In the old days, you know, my parents, it was children were seen and not heard. But if we don't hear what children are saying, we miss out on their interpretation of information that may be wrong. And we could save them lots of headaches by hearing what they've got to say and then making sure that what they are saying is correct and we can guide it or, you know, realign it accordingly if we share with them. So this show, for me, I have on my business cards, Jenny Russell, optimizing health at every age. Because that's what we want to do. We want to stop chasing health. We want to optimize it and then maintain it. You optimize your house, your physical brick house, then you maintain it. This is your structural, physical, muscular, skeletal house. So we need to optimize the health and then we need to maintain it. Let's play a trail.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise, elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad,
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We are back. Now, I was watching, like I've really said, I like to watch Blue Bloods. When I'm at my mum's at the weekend, it was my weekend looking after mum, and I'm watching Blue Bloods, and I do like Tom Selleck. And he's a comedian, if you know the show. Anyway, there was an episode I was watching, and they just quoted an ancient proverb. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And I was just like, oh my God. I've heard it so many times, but it just hit me differently. So I've shared on LinkedIn, have a look at my LinkedIn post. And I'm just like, how am I putting that into my business? Because I feel like that's literally our body, right? The enemy, like the period, you know, the monthly cycle. We used to see it as like this, you know, this scourge. Oh God, you know, you say Aunt Bessie's come again or whatever you call it, whatever name you called it. And it's like, oh, I'm on my period. It means I can't wear this, I can't do that, or all these things that we saw that we felt that the monthly cycle did to inhibit our natural rhythms and our daily rhythms for a period of time. Obviously, some people 3 to 7 days, and it depends on if you were regular every 28 days. And it seemed to come around quite quickly. But the funny thing is this. The minute you start to move into perimenopause, you suddenly realize that thing you couldn't stand is actually your best friend. And now you're recognizing, oh my God, does that mean, like, I can't get pregnant no more? I can't have children. And for some people that chase their careers, and this is no knocking anybody because we do things in the way in which is we believe is right for us, but our reproductive cycle is just, it's just the way in which it is. And sometimes the prolonged elevated levels of stress can actually halt periods and mimic early perimenopause. So you start to think, oh my God, I'm going into the menopause early. But actually, if you start to change things around and start to release this levels of stress you have and make obviously other lifestyle changes, the period may come back. However, it suddenly made me think to myself, the enemy of my enemy is my best friend. And one of those best friends when it comes to our health is the menstrual cycle. So for decades, periods were seen as a nuisance. But actually, the truth is, they were a sign of our youthfulness, number one, Y-O-U-T-H, youthfulness. They were a sign of our youthfulness. They were a sign of natural hormonal rhythm, balance. They were a sign of bone and brain protection. And they're a reminder of our vitality. No one taught us that. No one said to you, do you know what? That monthly cycle actually reminds you that you are young. You are still in that reproductive, procreating stage. That actually kind of signifies hormonal balance within you. So long as it's a natural monthly cycle we're talking about. It kind of helps to protect brain health, cognition, bone density. And it keeps you vital. No one said that to us, right? So the absence of periods doesn't mean the absence of power. It just means the rules have changed. So we have to find different ways to remain youthful, to maintain hormonal rhythms, to keep brain and bones protected and to remain vital. The rules have changed, so we have to change with them, right? So this new season doesn't have to come with strings attached. And those strings that I talked about, the strings attached, are things like brain fog or fatigue, hot flushes, bone density loss, weight distribution or weight redistribution. All of a sudden, it's like, where did this cycle come from? I am not wearing, what are those called? Those blow up, the rings. You know, the Life Boy rings around your belly. I'm not wearing one of those. Where's this weight come from, right? This is why it's really important that we need to know what, when, where, and how. because symptoms are not inevitable, but some of the negative symptoms can be avoidable. That's the difference. So as I said, if you want to come to the workshop on the 24th, then go on to my Instagram page at Pelvic Secrets or TikTok at Pelvic Secrets, and you'll find posters there, Fit and Fabulous After 50. There's another poster on, you know, we're trying to make the body do two different things, but wanting the same result, but we're pulling it in opposing directions. You can scan the QR code. You can click the link at the top of my Instagram page. You can find it on Facebook, on my Pelvic Floor Secrets page and on Jenny Russell. And you can also find it on LinkedIn. So this is really, really important. We need to understand that these are things that we didn't know would really help us, but now we're learning what they are. So let's have a look back on our menstrual cycle, because many times we don't really discuss it in detail. And what's really interesting, I used to work with a lady named Pamela Igwish, lovely lady, and she does a lot of work around the menstrual cycle. And she talked about day 17 always being a really bad day for us to make decisions. And it's not so much that we can't make good decisions on that day, but it's just that the decision-making style changes around this point in our cycle. And that's assuming if you have a natural 28-day cycle, right, then obviously it has to adjust if the cycle is slightly longer or shorter. Then day 17 sits just after ovulation. And estrogen supports confidence, our verbal fluency, our optimism, our social ease. And so it supports all those things. But when our progesterone begins to rise, there's a shift. And so the brain kind of moves from outward expression and confident to inward reflective and more protective mode. So we go from this being much more outwardly expressive to sort of being more protective. And so our risk perception, this is what is believed, that our risk perception may change, whereas our emotional nuance actually increases. We're much more emotional around this time. And our tolerance for nonsense decreases. Like, I ain't got time for this. Don't even start on me right now. We don't have that nuance. We don't want to know. We're not interested. So it's interesting because it was like the belief came about because we just seemed to be less rational just after ovulation. We became less impulsively optimistic and more context aware. So this is where it sort of has been made that around day 17, we're more cautious or more value-based long-term. So that's why they kind of say it. But what happens is, in our culture today, we like speed, certainty, boldness. And so they are all hallmarks of our high estrogen phases. So that's going to be more in the first 17 days, first 16 days. So it doesn't impair judgment on day 17, but it just changes the lens through which we make the decisions. That's what is linked to day 17. But let's just look at five fun and liberating facts about the menstrual cycle that, you know, I didn't know these in my day. So, you know, even at Sassy Sexy 63, my period stopped like 15 years ago. So this is 14 years ago. So there's a lot that I'm like, wow, nobody told me this stuff. This is why I'm saying it's so good for us to share. So the next generation, I believe, these things in the menopause, if we start to look at things and frame it differently in companies, then this whole, we are the biggest demographic in history in work for 45 plus. So when we don't have the right menopause strategies and systems in place, the potential for losing all that experience and expertise increases. What will happen with men if they have less confidence in our ability because of our adverse menopause symptoms is they'll stop promoting us into powerful positions as we get older because for fear that we'll take all that experience and expertise and exit the whole system. Then it affects their productivity, their performance, their profits, and so it's safer to give it to a man. We can't afford to do that to ourselves, ladies. Not happening. Not on my watch. Now, they say that we don't have one personality, we have four. So across a healthy cycle, we move through four neurological and hormonal states. We move through creativity, strategy, discernment, restoration. If you want to know it, which stages, 24th of January, you need to come to the workshop, right? But here's a little fun line here. If men did this monthly, it would be called leadership range. What is it called? Neurological. It'd be called leadership range, right? Another fact, ovulation is the peak of external confidence, not peak wisdom. So around ovulation, our confidence is high, our risk tolerance, as I mentioned earlier, increases, but we're more likely to say yes. But that's not always the best time for us to be signing contracts, making long-term commitments, or doing people-pleasing decisions. It's not always, right? Because we may look back and go, we might have external confidence, we may not have peak wisdom. This is what they say, yeah? Remember, this is not set in stone for everybody, but it's good to know. Number three, the premenstrual phase is the brain's editing suite, right? In the luteal phase, the brain becomes excellent in spotting inefficiency, misalignment, emotional dishonesty. And that's why women often say, I don't know why I put up with this. I don't know why I put up with that. That's not moodiness. That's clarity without filters. Number four. Very interesting, isn't it? Your cycle influences how you communicate, not just how you feel. High estrogen equals articulation, expressiveness, and persuasiveness. Rising progesterone equals directness, honesty, less tolerance of fluff. So same woman, just different communication mode. And number five, before we go to our next break, losing your cycle doesn't mean losing these rhythms. And I think this is really important to understand this. Even in perimenopause and menopause, the brain still responds to rhythm. Hormonal signaling doesn't disappear. It just reroutes itself. We just need to know where it's gone, right? And where the root is. What's the new root? Women don't lose intuition, discernment, or depth. They just really kind of lose the permission to honor it. That's all. And so if we understand these better, we're in a much better position. So the menstrual cycle doesn't make women unreliable. It just makes them responsive. That makes you feel good. And day 17 isn't a weakness. It's the beginning of discernment. Let's play a track.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, today I am blessed to be speaking with Charlotte Miller and Laura Holloway. So Charlotte Miller is the co-founder of Intergenerational England and Laura Holloway, spokesperson for City Living World. And we are speaking about why young adults are turning to slimming clubs. So Laura and Charlotte, welcome to Her Health and Happiness.
Hi, Jenny.
Yeah, pleasure to have you. So let me start with you, Charlotte. What is Intergenerational England and why are they interested in young adults and their health?
Great. Oh, well, thanks, Jenny, and many thanks for having us on here today. So Intergenerational England, we are an organisation working across sectors. So we work across health, housing, education, local government and communities, really helping organisations to kind of take that intergenerational approach, take that intergenerational lens. So encouraging groups to come together across different ages, really to improve well-being, reduce loneliness and strengthen communities. We live in a hugely age-segregated society in a world where ages don't come together and mix naturally or as often as they should. And what we do know from our research is that when you do provide spaces, intentional intergenerational spaces, when you bring different age groups together, it can improve their mental health. It can create healthier and more connected communities and societies. So that's what Intergenerational advocates for, and that's what we're trying to do.
Fantastic.
It is. Faith groups, we work and do a huge amount of work in churches. Yes.
Yeah, so that's really, really good. So I'll bring you in then, Laura, because this is quite nice. Why are more young adults going to Slimming World? Because I know we do have, when I wrote in my book, I wrote it that we have malnutrition of the obesity kind. So we do have a challenge with young adults now and their health and obesity. It's growing at an alarming rate. When you think about all the open spaces that we have all around the country, the opportunities to do things inside your house, outside your house, why are we finding that still so many young children, especially if they're going to school and they should have activities, why are we finding obesity such a problem?
It's a great question. And I mean, actually, studies are predicting that by 2050, one in three children will be living with obesity. So it is a great concern. I think why young people are coming to Slimming World, it's very unique in that there's a real focus on that in-person support. And I think that's quite unique to find nowadays. You know, we're living in a digital era where everything can be done on your phone and, as you say, in your own home. Whereas with slimming clubs, people are coming together. I mean, we did some research and found that 92% of young people told us that when they come to a slimming club, they feel part of a supportive community. And it's that sense of togetherness and belonging and feeling that, you know, you're not on your own. It's really combating loneliness and isolation and getting that support from like-minded people, which is really key.
Mm. I think one thing that lockdown really taught us is because I mean, I bought my classes and my people together online, and I added connections as a principle of health from March 2020, before they started talking about it later on in the year. And what it highlighted really was just how important community touch is, you know, and the isolation of loneliness. We normally, you know, that's why I love what you're doing there, Charlotte, with Intergenerational England, because we normally associate loneliness with aging. But actually, loneliness has become an issue for teenagers as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, completely. Loneliness, it affects people across the life course, to be honest. The recent research shows that 7% of those in England, so that's around 3.1 million people, say they feel lonely often or always, which is quite, you know, a shocking stat. And the problem is that we've designed society around age bubbles, around these age islands. So schools are here, workplaces are there, care homes are here. And I think in doing so, we've really lost everyday opportunities to connect across generations. People want that sense of belonging. They want that sense of community, of connection. And groups like Slimming World, you know, that's where they're brilliant and they're so unique, is that they actively bring people of all ages together, whether it's 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40, 60-year-olds. It's a very warm, welcoming space where there's that opportunity to share knowledge across the generations, to support one another. One of their wonderful case studies, Eleanor, she came with her grandmother, who's in her 60s, Eleanor's in her 30s. And I think that's such a wonderful generational example of when you do bring people together from across the life course, how they can support people within their weight loss journey.
That's really important.
So Laura, with the Slimming World together, what are young adults able to access? You know, is it just the knowledge for, obviously knowledge for nutrition and stuff, but are there activities they do? A question I want to ask as well. Do you encourage them to avoid fat? Please tell me you don't.
So in groups, so Slimming World consists of the, as I mentioned, the group support and the support they get in there. But as you say, it's so much more than that. It's the eating plan. So the eating plan is designed around eating wholesome foods that they can enjoy, that, like you say, are low fat. One of the key things is that they can still enjoy the foods they love, just healthier versions of it. So you can still enjoy, you know, your curry, your spag bol, whatever foods you like. So it's equipping people with the knowledge to choose, you know, make better choices really, but still feel satisfied with what they're eating. And alongside the support and the eating plan, there's also a physical activity program that encourages people to become more active at their own pace, you know, taking it one step at a time.
Yeah. Do you use, so I don't go for low fat. I don't encourage people for low fat because fats are needed for the production of so many sex hormones and so many actions within the body for estrogen production. So I think sometimes, especially for females, taking the fat out of diet actually creates another big problem, because that's one of the biggest things that we do need. So it's understanding the different types of fats and what those fats do. But low fat versions of foods actually creates a lot more problems, because it has a big impact on sex hormones. And obviously hormone production is the foundation of health. So being able to get young children to understand that, obviously when they're going to the fast food shops, the types of fats they're using, the processed foods that they're eating, those foods aren't helping them. But they're actually avoiding the good fats, the good fats that are in things like coconut oil, that in butter, because people tend to avoid butter. But butter is actually, you know, if you get good butter, it's actually a really great thing to use. Do you not encourage them to use that?
It's interesting you say that, actually, because we've made some changes to the plan just this year. And we are putting more of a focus on healthy fats. So we now include a category of foods that, you know, can include avocados, your nut butters, your healthy oils. Because as you say, you know, we do recognise the importance of those healthy fats in terms of the nutritional benefits you can get from them.
I used to always say, if avocado was a man, I'd marry it. But it's not, so I use it for its nutritional value.
I'm with you on that. I love avocados.
Absolutely fantastic foods. And it's just nice for people to understand, actually, there's nothing wrong with eating an avocado. I do a four-day rotation, so that way, instead of eating the same food groups, people they get to explore foods as well. And because some foods take up to 55 hours of transit through the body, if you don't keep eating the same food group, then your body you have an opportunity to see what foods your body does like and what foods it's kind of intolerant to. But we all tend to seem to eat the same 12 food groups. So with Slimming World, they must have a variety of foods that allows them to try different things. So you kind of, you know, expand your palate and suddenly realize, actually, you know, if I cook my greens in this way, you know, with coconut oil or with a nut butter or something, or I add a nut butter to a meat, it's really, really lovely. And it just changes the whole perception of how foods are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And it's actually something we hear quite a lot, people saying, you know, they've tried foods that they would never dream of trying or didn't even. I remember someone saying to me, you know, I tried a papaya. I didn't even know what one of those was until I joined Slimming World. And so people are exploring, yeah, new foods that they didn't even know about. But as you say, ways to cook foods that they might have considered bland, but are actually adding flavour and, you know, bulking up the meals and giving them that enjoyment of food again.
You keep mentioning foods that I've got. When I come off here, the first thing I'm going to eat, I've got papaya in the fridge. That's my breakfast this morning.
So
you just keep imagining everything that I... We get on very well, you know, me and you.
We would, wouldn't we,
like Jenny? The same I know we're pushed for time. Yeah, we can always have another conversation another time. I know we're pushed for time, but I'm glad that we're doing that because, you know, that thought of one in three being obese is quite frightening. And when you think about it, you know, because I am a woman in my 60s, right? Sassy, sexy 60s, I'll say. It's like 14 years from now. It's not long, you know? We're already like 8 days into January. It's just crazy. It's not, we're going to blink and we're there. So anything we can do to slow that down, to change that around, to educate people, to let them know that actually the biggest gift you've been given is your health. You know, everything you're chasing, you know, is of no consequence. If you don't think to maintain and protect the one thing you have, chasing health is the hardest thing to do. And it becomes a mental issue, even more so psychologically. So if we can educate people, encourage people, motivate people, as you mentioned, Charlotte, bring them across the ages, you know, and bring them together intergenerationally. You know, from a West Indian culture, how we grew up was like children were seen and not heard. The adults were in one room and the children were in the other. But when I had my children and we all came together, you know, there isn't this the room that you don't use.
Absolutely. And you know, and I think that is what's so important. As you say, it's protecting your health in the long term. And that doesn't matter whether you're 18 or 80, your health, as you say, is the most important thing. And that can be achieved by making those, you know, as you say, getting the knowledge, getting the support and making those healthy changes that are going to last your lifetime.
Yeah. And do you put them classes on? Do you have exercise classes as well at Slimming World?
So we don't do exercise classes. We have a range of exercise videos available online that people can access, and they're for all different ranges. So even if you're chair-based, you can still get involved in the exercise videos as well. So there's lots of support from that side.
Yeah, it'll be good to get in there and get and have a live class maybe once a month, because it'd be really interesting to see how, especially if you put music and dance into it, that's how kids like it, to just see how the intergenerations move and dance together. So I just thought we're going to have to wrap up. This is my little signal, get off the line. So Charlotte, where could people go to get more information? Because I love this whole thing of I've never heard of intergenerational England.
Oh, thank you. Well, you can find out more about Intergenerational England at www.intergenerationalengland.org. And there's all the information on there. We have projects running on the ground, hubs, classes, events, and we also do a huge amount of research and advocacy work. So that's where you can find us.
So I do hope that last interview there is useful for someone. Share it with your children. I'm not an advocate for Slimming World because I feel like I've done them about 3 or 4 times on this radio show. But I think, you know, each one, reach one in different ways. And if it helps, it really, really does help. But we are coming towards the end of the show. And remember, we've got the workshop on the 24th of this month, January. And you can email me pelvicsecrets@icloud. You can go to jennyrussell.com and you can get and switch on from there. Or you can book your place there, or you can just go onto Facebook, Jenny Russell, Pelvic Floor Secrets, Instagram, at Pelvic Secrets even, and so TikTok is the same, and X, and also on LinkedIn, Jenny Russell. So, last week on the BBC, they had a slot on incontinence. Recently, I get lots of friends calling me saying, Jenny, this show's doing incontinence, this show's doing weakness here, and they're like, why are you not being called? I think my name, I was way ahead of my time, and people didn't want to have that conversation, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show. But the difference is now is that it's no longer rare. These things, these symptoms are no longer rare. And midlife women are now speaking. And the impact is no longer just a physical one. It's a confidence one. It's a relationship one. It's a careers one. It's a presence one. And so even men are quietly discussing these issues because they're realizing that there is a difference. But we didn't talk about it when it was whispering. And now it's shouting. We could have prevented the shouting, but we weren't interested. And that's fine, because, you know, when you're young, you just want to live and you don't want to worry about anything. Like I said, right now, we're everybody, or many people, shall I say, many people, not everybody, because I would be included in that, and this is not my portion, in Jesus' name. But many people are chasing health, as well as chasing youthfulness. We need to stop chasing both. If we start to optimize health, we will maintain our youthfulness, our usefulness, and our health. And that's the difference. So I think it's nice because the masterclass is an opportunity for you to gain insight rather than diagnosis, to understand rather than just to straight away fix, but to reconnect without the pressure, without feeling that you need to have another plan, when actually what you need is to have understanding, without feeling that you need to push harder, when actually you just need to listen differently. And when you understand how your body works, the fear around it dissolves. And when the fear dissolves, the power returns. So it's not about judgment. For me, it's definitely about your body, you coming back home to your body. And understanding that midlife is not the to-do hitting the fan, as I call it, right? It's the moment the body stops whispering and starts telling you the truth. And the truth is, when it's met with understanding, it becomes freedom. It's not punishment, it's freedom. It's just liberation. And it's a wonderful feeling. At Sassy Sexy 63, I give God thanks that I have the vitality. Even as I'm recording this show today, I'm going back to play my third round of tennis, which means today, all in total, I've played 5 hours of tennis, coaching a match play, a two-hour match, an hour and a half match, and then back for a two-hour match, playing with women, playing with men, and optimizing my health. But also doing my work, doing my meditation, my breathing, eating really well, getting to bed just after 10 o'clock tonight. By 10:30, I'll be in bed. And just understanding, drinking my water, hydrating myself, making my juices, and understanding that being this way is a combination of habits and patterns. It's not one thing. But we have run out of time, and I look forward to seeing the bookings. Use Fit and Fabulous After 50, 7 things women are looking for. Until next week, in health and happiness, stay blessed, stay safe, and definitely, definitely stay well.